We'll begin today maybe a little differently because I only get to do this every couple of months. I can kind of do things differently, right? So we'll have a little science lesson to begin with today. You didn't know you were going to have a science lesson today, but yet I'm going to lead you down that path just a little bit. You ever thought about how wondrous the human ear is and your ability to hear? You know, it's been said that even the most sophisticated computer in the world is as crude as a concrete mixer in comparison to the miracle that is the human ear. Now, when we think about the ear, usually we think about this part on the outside, right? Some of us have funny shaped ears, and some of us have bigger ears and smaller ears, and they come in all shapes and sizes, but the real beauty of God's creation happens on the inside, down this one-inch tube called the ear canal, which if you're a kid, I guess you could put crayons in or something fun like that. I had a guy, that was a grade school story, sorry. Into this eardrum, which is kind of the middle ear, and behind your eardrum are the three smallest bones in the human body. You may remember their names. We came up with them. They have scientific names, but the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup, right? And these little bones vibrate and amplify sound 22 times louder than what it is when it comes into your ear, and pass that sound on to this amazing little snail-shaped device that you see there kind of in the middle called the cochlea. Inside of the cochlea of your ear are thousands of microscopic hair-like cells that are each tuned to a particular frequency. They take that particular frequency and pass it along your auditory nerve along about 30,000 circuits where it comes to your brain and you decipher what's come into your ear. Now, all of that just happened while you were listening to my voice. Is that amazing? Is God amazing, right? He's given this amazing device, which obviously he intended for something, right? Music is one way that we listen, but today I'm going to challenge you to think more about having a listening ear. And I've called my message today pretty simply, just listen. How many times, if we're honest, and I think all of us can be honest about this, has listening to the wrong thing gotten us into trouble? On the other hand, how many times has not listening to the right thing gotten us in trouble? Husbands? Okay, all right. Making sure I'm not alone, right? We stick together, guys, right? Not listening to the right thing got us into trouble, right? If God gave us this amazing miracle, what should we do with it? How should we listen? What can be gained from listening, and to whom should we listen? Now, let's be honest. In today's world, there are thousands of millions of voices crying out, right? You can turn on my 300 channels or whatever I've got on my TV. I can turn on the satellite radio or the radio and the internet and Twitter and all these things in between. And I can hear lots and lots of noise, right? I can hear lots and lots of things. And I'm not going to focus today on the bad stuff that you shouldn't listen to. We're not going to speak on the evils of don't watch this or don't listen to that. Today I want to focus on the positive. What is it in the midst of all of this noise that we should be listening to? John Stott, who is a modern-day theologian, said it this way. I love this. He said, one of the most important and maybe the most neglected aspects of Christian discipleship is the cultivation of a listening ear. Because bad listeners don't make good disciples. Did you hear that? If we are in this process of growing in Christ and drawing closer to Him and working our way toward righteousness through this process of sanctification that God has got us on, we need to have a listening ear. We'll turn today to the book of James. You can start flipping over there. And James is a book that is super practical when it comes to the matters of dealing with how to relate not only to one another, but also how to relate to God. And James spoke at length, all of chapter 3 of the book of James almost, was a warning on the evils of the tongue, of speech. This idea of the tongue being full of deadly poison. And we're aware of that, and we've talked about that. We've heard messages about that, how we have to be careful what we say. But nowhere in the book of James does he give a comparable criticism of the ear. He certainly urges us many times in James not to talk too much. But he seems to suggest, as I hope we're going to see today, that we can never listen too much. Let me give you a little background on James before we read our passage. James was writing to a group of people who were in the midst of some trials and temptations. Chapter 1 begins with an address to them and how to deal with these things. They had among their group of believers divisiveness, they had intolerance, they had favoritism, and they had an overpowering desire for wealth and status. I mean, I can't find any contemporary examples of that, right? No? Okay, maybe just me. James is writing to a church that deals with many of the things that we deal with today in America, and he speaks some great truth to them about these things. He's not a guy that shies away from getting straight to his point. And so, if you got your Bible, we're going to go to James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 19 with James's frontal assault on this. After he's spoken about enduring trials and temptations, he goes right to this. Know this, my beloved brothers. I'm about to give you a list of things you need to know. Number one, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our end result, James says, is righteousness, right? This idea of righteousness of God. Pastor Louis has done a great job speaking through the tenets of our faith the last several months about on our rock climbing series about righteousness of God. He is righteous and desires to produce that righteousness in us. How do we do that? James begins chapter 1 with this idea of here are some things that you need to do. And it's interesting to me that he begins with the idea of each of us must be quick to hear. There must be something to that, right? James is speaking to a group. He's inspired. The Word of God is inspired here. We need to try to learn something from it. So today we're going to talk about this idea of deliberate deafness. All of us at one time or another have been guilty of this idea of turning a deaf ear to something. Yes, we'll get to that in a minute. There are some things that we should turn a deaf ear to because it's difficult for us sometimes. If we're honest, most of us like to talk, right? Some of us have a more of a gift of gab than others, right? I quoted in the first service one of my favorite movies, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Sorry, I like it. George Clooney is in that movie, one of his best performances, I must say. And while he is meeting with John Goodman, who is a Bible salesman, anyway, long story if you hadn't seen it, they sit down over some fried chicken dinner, and he says to him, I believe, sir, that you also have the gift of gab, and they proceed into this long conversation. We know people like that, right? We love to talk and enjoy a good conversation. Why is it so hard for us to listen? Because sometimes when we have to listen, we have to be quiet, right? We have to be still, and we have to try to hear. So today I'm going to try to give you some very practical voices to listen to. I don't want to make it complicated. I want to try to be simple and try to challenge you in each three of these areas. So three voices for us to listen to if we're going to be obedient. And the first one is very obvious, but I think it goes without saying that our first voice to listen to is the voice of God. We serve a God who is a speaking God. Very early, in the earliest parts of the Bible, we see God speaking to his people. Adam and Eve there in the garden. And on through the Old Testament, we see this idea of God being a God who speaks. And even in the Old Testament, God and the psalmists contradict the folly of following after gods that cannot speak. Let's look. Psalm 115 says this, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. And lastly, he says, those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in him. It's a folly to follow after a God who can't speak, who is deaf and dumb, right? Our God is a speaking God. And all throughout the Old Testament, we notice a theme where God, when he is speaking to his people, he gives them three simple things. He says, take this law that I'm giving you, love the Lord your God, and remember, lastly, listen to my voice. Deuteronomy 30:20 says it really well. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. Why? For he is your life and your length of days. As we walk through the Old Testament a little further, we get to the prophets and we see that God was trying to get his message out to the people through the prophets. Jeremiah specifically comes to mind as Jeremiah was listening to the word of God, as Jeremiah was trying to get through to the people. God's complaint to Jeremiah about the people was simply in Jeremiah 13 that they refused to listen to my words. See, still today, God speaks to us, maybe not audibly, as he did to Abraham. Or one of my favorite Bible stories is the story of young Samuel. Remember the story of Samuel as he was in Eli's service, and he kept hearing a voice call out that said, Samuel, Samuel. And he would run into Eli, and he would say to him, yes, master, what is it? He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You know, we do that turkey. Go to bed. Yeah. And again, the voice called out, and Samuel ran in. Yes, master, what is it they want? And Samuel, and Eli said to Samuel, Samuel, next time you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, because maybe God is trying to speak to you. And Samuel went back and went to bed, and sure enough, God called again, and he obeyed and said to God, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So how does God speak to us today, if not audibly? Two primary ways that I think go together really well. Pastor Louis shared one with us again over the last several weeks as we looked at what he called our rock climbing guide, which is a great reminder of the truth of Scripture as how God speaks to us today. God also speaks to us through his Spirit. And I'd like to challenge you this morning to think about how those two go together, how the Spirit and the Word come together so we can hear the voice of God today. If the Spirit of God is present, as we read his word, it speaks to us. If the word is present, then the Spirit of God is present. It's difficult for us to separate the word and the spirit because they work together to speak to us. Hebrews 4:12 says it well, a verse you're familiar with. For the word of God is living and active. Living and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. We can't separate the word from the spirit or the spirit from the word. They work together to speak to us. Of course, the tragedy is today, as in Old Testament days, many people often do not, maybe cannot, or simply will not listen to the word of God. The non-communication is not on God's part. He's not dead or missing. If I'm talking on my cell phone to you and our connection goes dead, I don't automatically assume that you are dead. I assume we just lost connection, right? I mean, you've been on the cell networks here in DFW, right? You're just driving around and quits working. I don't know why, okay? I don't assume something happened to you. When I am listening for the voice of God, if I'm not hearing the voice of God, God is not dead or missing. There's been some kind of break in our communication. Perhaps for us, our daily quiet times and prayer times have become more of a routine than they have an opportunity to really stop and to hear. So our challenge today is simply the words of the young boy Samuel to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to hear from you, God. Our second voice to listen to is one another. Community, biblical community, depends on communication. It's only when we speak and listen to one another that our relationships can truly develop and mature. James chapter 1 is full of James's warnings to his church, to the church, of the dangers of not listening to each other and showing favoritism and partiality to one another. When we stop listening to each other, we lose wisdom. Proverbs has some great words to this. There's three Proverbs. 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own wise, but a wise man listens to advice." Proverbs chapter 15 says, "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." And lastly, Proverbs 18 says, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Is there wisdom from one another? Yeah, absolutely. How does this apply to us? Well, I think it applies to us in every sphere of our life. When we think of our homes, the Bible commands children, listen to your parents. They're wiser than you. I know you don't believe that at this point, maybe some of you, but I promise that day will come. Parents, on the other hand, maybe sometimes we need to listen to our kids. Ouch, you know, because they speak truth out of the mouth of babes, right? In our marriages, communication is the key. Marriage breakdown, and you know this to be true, is almost always preceded by communication breakdown. What about the workplace? It's been said that effective communication is the skill that sets apart leaders and followers. Those who can manage conflict and manage people by dealing with one another are those who excel the one another of life, and then also the church. The church history, unfortunately, has a long and somewhat dismal record of controversy, many of which have been justified by theological debates and things that needed to be debated. But many times, unfortunately, churches have fallen into conflict with one another because of petty disagreements or small things. So how do we discipline ourselves to learn to listen to one another? Well, the key word was the word I just mentioned. It's the word discipline. If you've ever tried to be disciplined to anything, whether it's eating well or exercising or doing those things, is it always the most easy thing you've ever done? No. It takes work, right? It takes work to listen to one another. To listen with integrity to both sides of an argument or to listen to a conflict is difficult, and it requires discipline, right? How do we do that? We go back to our first point, and that's the Spirit and the Word, which guides us into this idea of listening to one another with the ears of God, so that we can then in turn speak the truth of God back to people. When we listen with our selfish ears to one another, we hear what only our selfish ears want to hear. When we listen with the ears of God, we hear what people are really trying to say, and then we can respond in love accordingly. Which leads me really well to our last voice. Now this one you're going to say, like, Justin, you're speaking crazy here, so bear with me for a second, all right? Don't run out or yell at me. We need to listen to the world. You're like, hold on, I think every preacher in the world is now preaching about not listening to the world. I'm going to share with you for a minute. Louis left 1 week and things are going crazy. Hang on. The modern world, if you listen, is crying out in pain and anguish and confusion. And you know what, Christians? Let me talk to all of us. We sometimes turn a deaf ear to the cries of people because all we see is their sin. It's all we can see. And we can't look past their sin and hear what it is that they're crying out about. So yeah, I'd say we need to listen to the world because there are millions, if not billions, of people who either have not heard the good news of Jesus or have heard and have not chosen to follow. And if we rush in, guns blazing, if you will, and only condemn and refuse to listen, I'm not sure that we've really entered into a place where we can evangelize. Jesus did this. You're like, well, where's this at? Yeah, I'm going to share with you. Jesus, very early in his ministry in the book of Matthew, was walking among the towns and the villages and healing their sick and touching and doing these miracles and preaching the good news of salvation. Matthew 9 tells us that he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep, harassed and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd. Were these people living in sin? Probably so. You know what Jesus saw? Their need for a Savior. because he stopped and he listened. So if I could give an example of us for authentic evangelism as we listen, it's this idea of standing in the gap between the Word and the world. We listen to the Word of God absolutely first and foremost so we can hear the truth of God. It's important. We have the truth first. We listen to the world so we can hear what it is that people need, where their hurts are, where their heart is broken. And we stand in the middle of that so we can speak truth from the Word of God into the world to address their biggest needs. How do we do that? Because the Word is faithful and addresses those things, and Christ's riches speak to everyone's situation in their own unique way. But we have to listen to be able to hear. Now, don't get me wrong. Dialogue is not the end-all to be-all. We can have discussions for years. Our ultimate goal is to preach Christ and to have them, yes, make a decision, and yes, repent, and yes, change, yes. But the first step is to listen. That brings me to my point today. It's not terribly deep, I guess, but I think it's amazing truth. As I read through this, it came to me. Simply, how we listen shows how we love. Another way to say this is if we listen well, we love well. And if we listen poorly, we're going to love poorly. And I think you can take that and apply that to every one of the three areas that we talked about today. For me to turn a deaf ear to somebody is a horrible mark of disrespect, right? If I won't listen to you, if I refuse to hear what you have to say, I'm saying that I don't consider you worth listening to. And listen, folks, there's only one person that Scripture tells us is definitely worth never listening to, and that's Satan, because he's a liar. In the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan spoke to our first father's mother, Adam and Eve, and said to them, you know, I know better than God does, and they bought into that lie, there were terrible consequences for that, right? Satan is a liar, and he does speak lies, and we don't listen to him. But instead of listening to the truth of God, you got to be careful not to give way to those lies of Satan. But if we're going to steadfastly refuse to listen to those lies, then what is it that we're going to listen to? We're going to listen to God, right? His truth covers all situations, right? There's not a person whose situation or heartbreak that God can't speak into. We're going to listen to one another because that's the mark of love, right? If I love people, I will listen to them. I will hear their side of the story. I will try to understand what it is maybe they're needing to say. And then lastly, I'm going to listen to the world because there is a lost and dying world out there that needs Jesus. And I've got to stop and listen and try to understand what it is about Jesus that they need the most, because guess what? He has it. And I want to be prepared to offer it. Yeah, listening to one another, listening to God begins as just a mark of, yeah, courtesy and respect and honor. But it moves to that last part of James chapter 1, verse 20 that we talked about. This idea of when we listen, when we're slow to anger, when we're slow to speak, there comes righteousness. Yeah, and James goes on to say, once you've heard and taken all of this in, there's an important part, and it's called to be a doer of the word. We can listen all we want to, and then God tells us to put feet to our listening and be prepared to go and share and stand in the gap between the world and the word and the world. What is it today that God needs you to listen to? Truthfully, for each and every one of you, it's something different. It's different for me. All of us are in different places. And maybe it's that we need to hear from God. Maybe it's somebody that we've got a broken relationship with that we need to listen to and mend that relationship. Maybe it's somebody that is lost and dying without Christ who needs us to stand and share with them the good news that only Christ can bring.